really believe God wants to impart revelation and intimacy. Those are two words I was hearing when I was sitting down there. And we need fresh revelation always, and we need fresh or renewed intimacy always. And those two things keep us in a place of renewal and freshness. So I pray there's an impartation of that, even while I'm chattering. I was sitting there and I had a couple of things I've been seeing. One was the angel rolling away the stone off Jesus' tomb. I don't particularly think it was Jesus' tomb, but it was the principle that I saw an angel moving, rolling a big stone. And I felt this thing, God's saying shift. It's a word that's been on me, but I feel there's a shift. There are shifts that he wants to even impart this morning in some of your lives, that you've been held in by big things, and there are already angels released and they're rolling the things off you. They're rolling them out. They're rolling them, the doorway, where the doorway's been blocked, they're rolling it now. And you're coming out into another season. And the other thing I saw was this massive cardboard box. It was really weird. It was a massive cardboard box, and it was full of colourful clothes, and it almost looked like they'd come from the circus, which was a bit weird to me. And I'm saying, what is that big cardboard box of colourful clothes? And I've heard God say, I'm releasing a season of unusual mantles. I'm releasing a season of unusual mantles. They are going to be things that actually make you seen at times. And we kind of got the theology correctly so that we don't particularly want to be seen. We want him to be seen. And so, we're happy to be dressed in grey, if you like. But I felt there was a sense that God was releasing some very colourful things on your lives that were going to actually put you in a place of prominence, not for you, but for him. And I think they're going to come in unusual ways, because this was a big cardboard box. It wasn't like, it seemed so unusual and so ordinary. And I think that God is going to release the extraordinary to you in some very ordinary situations. And you're going to be blown away when you say, how did that happen in that relationship or in that place where I work or with that neighbor? Because it just seemed cardboard. And yet he manifested something incredibly colorful and powerful. And it was almost the sense of the, when I thought about the circus, it was almost the sense of the oohs and the ahs of the trapeze and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was the wow. God was going to release a wow factor in your lives in some very ordinary places that are going to bring glory to him. And so I just released that too. Does that fit for anybody? Does anybody want that? Yeah. Father, we just agree for it. We ask you to release now the shifting of the stone, the rocks, the stuff that's got in the way. Hey, the stuff that's contained us. And I'm asking right now that you would start to unload that cardboard box and you drop those unusual mantles, those colorful things into people's lives that will bring glory to you, that you're going to release some color into this house. Hey, that is a new color. That it won't be the continuation of something that was, but there's a season of a fresh display coming. And the word is display. Things are going to be on display here. And you won't need to be fearful of that because the Father's going to show up and he's going to manifest his glory. So I bless this house just to have that the newness of a new season. I want to talk about seasons, and this is something that I live with all the time, but it's something God said to me many, many years ago, is that there are seasons in my spirit, and you have to understand the season you're in. And, I think many people feel a bit of a shaking, a bit of uncertainty at the moment, whether it's in the world with the British political chaos that we are in the midst of, or even in church life, we're kind of aware we're not quite in what was, but we're not quite in what is yet to be. Have you ever felt like that? We're like in this transition of, I know he's still doing it, but it's not quite like it was. And yet, there's this out there, and I want to pull it in. And so we're in this transition of seasons, and sometimes I see it very clearly as a bridge. I was just meditating on this the other day, and I saw this kind of rope bridge swinging between two cliff tops, like a canyon. And I thought, that's a scary place to walk, you know? You see them in the movies, don't you, where they're kind of hanging on, and it's in the wind. And, you know, transition seasons are like that bridge. Transition seasons are rarely simple. Transitions between seasons rarely feel safe. In Joshua 3, they transitioned from one season to the next. And it, you know, they had to cross the Jordan River. Do you remember? And God says to them, first of all, he gives a word to Joshua. Then he gives a word to the other leaders. Then he gives a word to the people. And those three will always come to us in times of transition. He will always speak to the senior leaders, all the leaders, and all the people, because he needs to give them confidence. But he says to them, what he says to them is, you have not been this way before. Keep your eye on the ark, basically. In other words, he says to them, as you transition from what was into what shall be, you can no longer rely on your experience. Your experience has brought you so far, but it isn't enough for what he wants to do next. And so they have to have one thing, and that is they pursue the presence of God. And they pursue it so diligently that leads them in. Now, the thing about this transition is that it's not a nice transition. Transitions aren't always nice. I mean, they come surprises, don't they? And they come with rocking. And, you know, the river isn't a nice river at this time. For some reason, actually, it's a clear reason, God has chosen to cross them over when the river's in flood. You know? It's like, why didn't you choose it when it was after the summer and there was hardly any rain and we could paddle, yeah? Why didn't you choose to cross us over and transition us into something new when it was an easy walk? But instead, God chooses to take them across something like possibly 2 million people, babies screaming, little kids wondering what's going on, the banks of the river are covered in mud. These guys are getting mud all up their legs. The kids are falling in the mud. They're all screaming. It's all chaos. The water is in flood. And God says, now's the time to transition. Yeah? What I'm trying to say is transition isn't always nice, because it carries this measure of out of my comfort zone. But that out of my comfort zone sets me up to seek God for what's coming next, and to pull it in. And so I want us to just understand, we had a time in our church earlier in the year, and I was really conscious. Do you remember at the beginning of the year, it was like spring was trying to come and it couldn't? Do you remember it was like winter kept coming back? You'd get a day of sun, and you think, woo, it's come. And the next day it would snow again, you know. And it was like there was this battle between winter was trying to hang on in there and spring was desperately trying to come. And I really felt at that point, God says, this is a picture of something bigger. There's a battle between the old season trying to hang on and the new one trying to come in. And we had this Sunday morning once, and God really released this word shift. And probably, I don't know, it felt like half an hour. It wasn't. It was probably 5 minutes, but it was, you're in that zone. And everybody in the congregation was standing up, and it was like they were chanting, shift, shift. It was a prophetic moment where it just came on the body. It was a bit like a football crowd at that point, wasn't it? Shift, shift. And I felt things starting to move. And I knew it was a word from God calling the seasons to shift in our lives and in our church. The following Saturday, I was in the office which it's only a little church, and my office, kind of the office I was in, backed onto the main room, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden the desk, my desk that I was at, starts to shake like this, that violently, right? Then the chair I'm sitting on starts to shake, right? Then the door, fire door in the main sanctuary, starts to shake. And then I hear what sounds like enormous footsteps, because it's like crashing around the room. And I'm in this thinking, this is either an angel or an earthquake. I was at peace, but it was like I was watching it. So I phoned my wife. I said, have you got an earthquake there? And she says, oh, I wondered why the cooker was shaking just now. And so I thought, okay, this is a little earthquake. But the thing was this, that for me, it happened in a sequence. First, it shook my desk, my work. Then it shook my chair where I was sitting. Then it shook the door, the entry point. And then it went all round the church. Wow. And so I'm thinking, Sunday we called for a shift, and now this place is actually shaking. And so in my heart, I'm knowing, God, you're doing something. You're actually trying to shake the body of Christ. You're trying to shake the nations. You're trying to bring in another season. And it's going to shake our desks. It's going to shake our chairs. It's going to shake our doors. And it's going to shake our church sanctuaries. And I really believe that we're in this in-between time where God is waiting to manifest unusual displays. And it won't be that he replaces what was, it's that he will build on what was and take it on to another level. And so I really believe that I just want to talk a little bit about times and seasons and try and give us a little bit of a grid for this and really believe that God's going to impart on us all a fresh level of understanding the times and seasons. Is that okay? You know, in Genesis 8, verse 22, God says to Noah, as long as the earth remains, summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest will remain. As long as the earth remains. So this is an earthly thing. There aren't seasons in heaven. There are seasons on earth. As long as the earth is in existence, it will run on the principle of seasons. And therefore, if we don't understand that, we will get stuck planting in winter or trying to harvest at the wrong time or doing the wrong stuff at the wrong time. Yeah? We really have to understand that God is a seasonal God. And that's because he's not circular. He's going forward towards a destiny. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm just trying to go through this without reading them all. In the book of Ecclesiastes, if you've read it and you kind of puzzled over it, Solomon, who writes it, says everything's a load of vanity. Yeah? And it's a really encouraging book. Yeah? He says, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. Says the preacher. Who wants that kind of preacher in your midst? And so he says vanity, and he starts to talk about the emptiness of life, what he calls under the sun. Okay? Under the sun, life goes up and down, round and round. You're born, you go to school, you get married, you die, you're born, you get married. And it's a vanity. It's like the sun rising and setting. He says, when you live that life, it's vanity. But then in chapter 3, he says, but there is a time or a season for every purpose under heaven. So God wants to pull you out from under the sun and put you under heaven. Okay? Because under the sun, it just goes round and nothing really means anything. It's a nice life and we're happy, but it doesn't go to a destiny. But when he takes you out from under the sun and he puts you under heaven, then there comes a time and a season for every purpose that he's put in your life. And so God wants to transition us into living under heaven, not under the sun. He wants to transition me from living under a circular and a cyclical lifestyle. Of course, I will have those things going on, you know, go to work, cook the food, blah, blah, blah. However, that's not it. What is it is that I moved under heaven, and now every season carries a purpose, and every purpose has a season. And so I need to live there. I need to understand that God works in times and seasons. I also need to understand those times, what they are, what one I'm in. And really, one of my favorite passages or favorite concepts in the Old Testament is the sons of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, who in 1 Chronicles 12:32 were part of David's mighty men. And it says the sons of Issachar, who were David's mighty men, had the understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel should do. And it says they had 200 captains, and all the rest were at their command. And so the sons of Issachar stand out, the tribe of Issachar stands out as a group of people who have the prophetic ability to understand times and seasons, and as a result, know what to do and what not to do. I want that. I believe God has that for me, but I think in this group of people, God is calling the Issachar anointing forth. In our movement, he's calling that forth. Because we are not a people of yesterday, we're a people of tomorrow, we're a people of seasons, and we have to therefore understand how to transition across. Does that make sense? Do you get that? Now, Issachar was an interesting tribe. Let me just tell you a little bit about them. They were the only tribe, apart from the Levites, who were allowed to handle the law. And they were allowed to handle the word because they had prophetic sensitivity. They had a much smaller geographical territory than most of the other tribes. And in fact, seen from above, their territory looks like an arrowhead. And in that place, they didn't have as much land. They weren't like big church, mega church. They were little church, but what they did have was the mountains, the Mount of Transfiguration, the mounts where they went and met with God. And so they were the people whose territory went up rather than across. Do you get that? And so they were the people who connected with the heavens and pulled in the heavenly into the earthly. As a result of that, they became leaders in the nation. They were one of the three tribes that were on the eastern side when they camped in the wilderness, which meant the sun rose on them first. In other words, they got the revelation first. They were one of the three tribes that led Israel when they went forward, along with Judah, praise, and Zebulun, who were the financiers. Issachar was the prophetic. And so these three, praise, prophetic, and money, led the advance. Interesting combination, actually. Issachar, on the high priest's breastplate, Issachar, because each of the tribes had a stone, Issachar had a blue stone, which in the old versions of the Bible is translated sapphire, but sapphires weren't known as precious stones in those days. It's more likely what they call the lapis lazuli, which is a blue, creamy blue, dark blue, midnight blue, with flecks of gold and white. And it represents the stars in the sky. Yeah? And they had that as their representative. Why am I telling you all this? Because here were a group of people who didn't live earthly, they lived heavenly. Yeah? And because they lived heavenly, they could pull it in and understand what God was doing on the earth. And I think he wants that for you. I think he wants to impart that mantle into our lives, that we have such a heavenly discernment that we really do understand what he's doing and why he's doing it and how we walk with it. Does that make sense to you? So, you know, I'm going to call it and I'm going to ask God to impart this because I really believe he wants to do this morning. Let me just talk thirdly about the challenge of transitional seasons. You know, when you transition, it's always unknown. It's easy to read about it in hindsight because you get the end of the story. But when you're going through it, you don't know it. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, really, it was a transitional, scary time. When Joshua led the people through the wilderness and they got to the promised land, it was a transitional, scary time. There are transitional, scary times in our lives. And in those times, we can start to align ourselves and recognize some principles that will help us go through the transitions. When there is a transition, there is a battle between generations. What do I mean by that? Two pictures that there are two stories, two sets of characters that really are with me in this at the moment. One is Jacob and Esau, and the other is Samuel and Eli, because these are transition points in between generations. You remember, you see, when you have a transition, Jacob and Eli fight for prominence in your life. You remember their mother, Rebecca, wasn't it? It says she was pregnant with twins, and she felt these two babies having a wrestling match inside her, yeah? And she went to God and said, what's going on? And he gave her an explanation of what was happening. But you know, in your womb, in your spiritual womb, in your womb of birthing, your womb of creativity, your womb of purpose in the earth, girls and guys, you carry Jacob and Esau. You carry the ability to birth the purposes of God, or you carry the ability to birth the flesh. And the two are always at war. The two are always at war in our lives. And when you hit a transition time where it's all scary and you don't know what's happening, the challenge for you and the challenge for your people is that they will often tend towards Esau's quick fix comforts than Jacob's solid pursuit of the goal. Do you understand that? When we're in a time of discomfort, Esau kicks in. He says, never mind the birthright, just enjoy the stew. Yeah? You deserve this. You've been pastoring for so long, and you've gone through the mill, and no one knows the stuff you've had to put up with. You can deserve to do this. Yeah? And if we're not careful, we can fall for an Esau lie, and we can lose something of our birthright. Because you have a birthright this morning. You have things that have come to you in your birth. Yeah. God doesn't want you to lose them. You have a birthright, Andrew. Your birthright is not over. Your birthright, the mandate that's written over you, has still got quite a lot of paragraphs on that scroll. And when we're in this time of transition where it's insecure, it's easy to go for a quick fix. It's easy to go for, I don't know, why do some people fall? Sometimes it's that. Why do they fall sexually? Why do they fall? There's no criticism. I want to honor and raise up. But Esau fights to keep you out of your transition. Jacob, despite his issues, pushes through into the transition. You see, if Esau had won the day, Abraham's leaving Ur would have failed. Because Esau would not have continued the calling that had been on his granddad. Yeah? But Jacob pursued the calling. And in the end, became a nation. And so in that transition between Abraham and the nation, there's a battle between Jacob and Esau. There's a battle between, will you chase, will you grasp, even if you got it wrong and you've still got a lot of generational issues that pop their heads up, will you pursue and chase after the birthright, or will you give up and just have a bowl of stew? Yeah? Whatever you chase will name you. Heaven works on hunger. The kingdom of heaven doesn't actually work on your needs. I mean, it loves your needs, it's provided for your needs, but the kingdom of heaven is looking to see what you desire. Jesus went to a blind man who wore a blind man's cloak, that would be today having a white stick. Yeah. And he's calling out, and Jesus says, what do you want? I mean, that's like the most stupid question going. Because you see, the blind man needed his eyes. But Jesus wasn't going to meet him on the need, he was going to meet him on his hunger. Because in the end, it's your hunger that draws out of the Father's heart. It's your hunger that pulls the new season in. It's your hunger that pulls your birthright in. It's your hunger that pulls in the promises and the prophecies and the things that he's spoken. It's your hunger that pulls in the rain. It's the hunger of Elijah as he puts his head between his knees and calls and pulls in the cloud of the rain. And in the end, it's my hunger and your hunger for the birthright issues that will bring them into being, into manifestation. And in this time of transition, there is always an Esau-Jacob battle going on. The enemy is after your hunger because he wants to satisfy it with temporal and side issues. God is after your hunger because he wants to focus it on the things that really matter. And as leaders, it's easy to fall into that trap. My weakest times are when either when I've had a really good day or a really bad day. Yeah? If I've had a really great Sunday and everything's happened, then I can, thankfully I don't think I do as much these days, I can kick back and think, oh great, praise God, now I can just chill and switch off. But hey, you can switch off too much. Yeah? Or I've had a really bad one and then it's, oh man, how many bottles of wine have we got in the house? You know, do you know what I mean? We can go for the Esau. And I'm not saying you don't watch TV, don't have a glass of wine, but it's what you reach out for and what you let go of at the same time. You see, both these men were named by their hunger. Esau got called Edom, which was red. It was the color of the stew. His name became Stew Man. His name became red, earth, dirt. Jacob became named as Israel, prince, ruler, co-heir. You see, what you pursue in the end will be the legacy you leave behind. It will be the name that's attributed to you in the spirit. And I'm challenged by this, which is why I'm sharing it. Because it challenges my heart. Because in transition times, you know, I want to be right there at the front of the next season. Yeah? I don't want to be someone who's associated with what was. I love what was. I will build on what was. I want to take everything that was, and I still want to take it to make sure it's there. But I want to then press in to what is to be. The other battle is the Samuel-Eli battle. I'm just going to read that one to you because it really is important to me. 1 Samuel 3, just so you know I've opened the Bible. Because I know there are some people that rightly think we don't, not every church these days preaches the word enough. I have quoted it. And I've quoted it for the sake of brevity. 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. This is one of those other generational battles. This is a transition time between judges and kingdom. It's a transition between what was and what shall be. And the guy who was part of the what was has already become so full of disappointment that he can't see any longer. Yeah. Both these guys are lying down. One of them is lying down because he's been contained and he's almost given up. His disappointment factor has caused him to lie down. And one is lying down in the presence of God, ready to get the word for the new season. And I want to ask you today, where are you lying down? As we transition across, it's not about age. It's about inner age. It's not about age, whether you know, how old you are in years. It wasn't an issue that the issue that Eli was an old man and Samuel was a young boy, probably 12 years old at this time. That's not the issue. The issue is a heart issue always with God. You can be 99, you can be 120, and you can still transition across if you have a heart of Samuel. You can be 20 and miss the next season if you've got the heart of Eli. And so it's about a heart thing. But where am I lying down today? Am I rest? Is my lying down actually that resting and engaging with his presence with an expectation? Or has the enemy put me in my place? It says Eli was in his place. Have I become stuck in my place? Has tradition and experience locked me up? You know, do you have a favorite place in your lounge? Do you have your chair? Do you have your chair in the church? We have some people in the church, and they, bless them, it's their chairs there. And we had some new people come early one week, and they sat in their chairs. And these other people were quite upset. And now I know why. Part of it was because that's where they hear best and all that sort of stuff. So it wasn't an issue. But what I'm saying is our traditions, our experience, and our disappointments can cause us to think, that's my place, and that's always going to be my place, and I'm not moving on from that place. And Eli was in that place. When God wanted to shift, he wanted to move the thing forward. And he spoke to another man who was not a boy, who was not stuck in his place through disappointment, tradition, restricted thinking. He didn't know anything, but he had a heart. And he said, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. He didn't respond in the right way initially. He didn't have the protocol in place for that next season. But he responded from his heart, and God built the protocol in his life. And we may not have it all in place for what God's going to do next, but your response of your heart will determine whether God can build the next season in or not. We are in the transition of seasons. And in this time, we need to put on the Jacob and put on the Samuel. And we need to pick up that childlike that Samuel has here. And he's saying, you know, whatever you want to say, I'm here. Whatever you want to do, I'm here. Give it to me. I want to make my home, my bed in your presence. I want to live before the lampstand. It's easy when we carry disappointments to let our eyes become dim. But I believe God wants to really release a spirit of revelation this morning and start to open up eyes. I really believe he wants to release in our midst a fresh persistence like Jacob had. Now, Jacob had his other stuff, and that's another talk. Okay, Jacob had a generational bloodline issue that kept cropping up and which he fed. And that fought against his pursuit of spiritual things. Nevertheless, he got there in the end. Jacob in the end became a seer. And he saw the future of all his sons and the nation. He was a man who crossed in and out of the heavenly realms. until the last day. It says, this is an amazing bit. It says, Jacob prophesied over all his sons, sitting on his bed. It says, he picked his feet up, says, cheerio, guys, I'm off. And he went. I mean, Jacob becomes a man who has so gone in and out of the heavenly realms that that's all that matters to him. That the heavenly realms govern the earthly realms in his life. And so I want to encourage us this morning as leaders. God has an amazing season. A new season for this nation, for the nations. There's a new release of the kingdom. There is another outpouring coming. We're, if you like, on the rickety rope bridge between the two. And it swings a bit. It's scary. You think you might drop off the edge. You got to hang on sometimes. And in that time, the enemy is trying to distract you with temporal issues and get your hunger. Or discourage you with things that haven't happened so you lose your eyesight. And God wants to speak again. Open your eyes again. Stir your hunger again. And say, what you're about to do, I am in. Here I am. Talk to me. Send me. Use me. Fill me. Flow through me. If it's colorful and it doesn't look like anything I've done before, then give me the security to run with something weird, yeah, something different. But I want to press in to the new season. I want to be a Samuel. I want to be a Jacob. I want to live under heaven, not under the sun. Is that clear? Is that fair? Can we stand up and just ask? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just thank him this morning that he knows the times and seasons in your life. For you as an individual, as well as for your church, for your ministry. You know the seasons, Lord. You know the seasons. I just want to speak to those of you who feel you're stuck in your place. I think some of you feel put in a place by church, by denomination, by members. Something has made you feel that's my place and I want to get out of it, but I can't. Is that anybody here? Because God wants to break that one open. So Father, just break those things open in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ho. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, your hands are really important, David. God is going to release things through your hands. Whoa. Father says it's for such a time as this. You are here for such a time as this. Such a time as this. You've come to this place. Hey. Hey. And the color and the display is coming. It's coming on your lives. It's coming to this church. It's coming in a way you have no idea yet. But he's looked for two who are faithful. And he says, I found two who are faithful. And my seal is set upon your lives. I've marked you with a seal. And all of heaven knows that seal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to, if you feel I really need a shift of season or I need to understand the seasons more, or you feel in a battle between the Jacob and Esau in your life. Can we pray with you? I don't know what you want to do. Just go somewhere, step out of your seat, and we'll come and stand with you. Or get someone beside you to pray with you. It doesn't have to be me. Just say, can you pray for me? I want to shift. See, some things have finished, but some things have just gone into hibernation. I see you taking things out of the cupboard, Sue. It was like a little memory box. Father says, I'm going to remind you of some things I said to you. I hear the word impact over your life. I see it written over your head. Father says there's going to be an impact coming from you. It's actually going to cause things to shift from one road to another.